Welcome to $100 Plus Mileage. I'm Mike Dunbar, content editor for Citizens Count. We're a nonprofit dedicated to providing unbiased information about New Hampshire issues and candidates. This podcast is all about the state bills you might not have heard of, but that could still impact your life. With New Hampshire's presidential primary behind us and the 2024 legislative session off to a start, it's an exciting time to be a Granite State political wonk. Speaking of political wonks, I'm joined on this podcast by the one and only Anna Brown, Director of Research and Analysis for Citizens Count. Anna, I think this is an exciting time. How would you characterize your feelings about the upcoming legislative year?
I mean, lots of feelings, but it kind of reminds me of on college applications when they made me describe myself in three words. So I'm going to do the same thing with the legislative session. And my three words are curriculum, housing, and kangaroos. If you know, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to have to think about that one. I'm sure they figured it out, though. All right. Well, today we have a bill related to animal rights, not kangaroos, though, and hunting restrictions surrounding coyotes. Coyotes.
No, Mike. The coyote thing, that's clearly you've been corrupted by your time in Nashville.
Okay. Potato, potato, coyote, coyote, whatever. Coyotes have long been vilified in New Hampshire and across the country. Generations of farmers learned to despise these predators for ravaging livestock. New Hampshire hunters can target coyotes all year long with no bag limit. Advocates argue that the coyote's bad reputation is unfair, however. This has led to HB 1100, a bill that would limit coyote hunting to protect pup rearing season. Let's break it down, Anna. Tell me a bit about coyotes in New Hampshire. Have they always been here?
No, I learned coyotes arrived in New Hampshire in the mid-20th century as their population moved east across the country from the Midwest. The first verified account of a coyote in New Hampshire came in 1944, and the population grew statewide during the 70s.
Yeah, they seem to have gotten a bad rap. They're usually depicted as stealing farmers' chickens, making off with babies in the dead of night, chasing roadrunners. Are they really so bad?
As predators, coyotes tend to prey on whatever is seasonally abundant, including mice, squirrels, woodchucks, etc. While most don't prey upon livestock, depredation can become an issue if a coyote learns that young livestock make easy prey. According to the New Hampshire Fish and Game Department website, coyotes can actually help farmers by controlling rodent populations. Coyotes pose little threat to humans, although there is some concern that may change as developments push into natural habitats. Also, let's not pretend I'm a wildlife expert. Most of that came from the department's website.
Fair, fair. Okay, so now that we have a lay of the land, let's talk about today's bill, HB 1100. What can you tell us?
HB 1100 proposes to limit coyote hunting during pup rearing season, stating, quote, "No coyote shall be hunted at any time from April 1st through July 31st to coincide with coyote pup rearing." The legislation is being championed by Voices of Wildlife in New Hampshire, an organization that aims to make New Hampshire a more humane state by educating the public about the value of wildlife and working to end the cruel and unjust treatment of wild animals, end quote.
So full disclosure, I made the mistake of doing a Google image search of coyote pups and have lost all sense of objectivity on this issue, but I am bound by my sworn oath to nonpartisanship here at Citizens Count, so I'll let you tell me about the pros and cons of this issue. What do proponents say?
Just have to interject, I was shocked to hear you say that when we were talking earlier, since I've seen you talk to your parents' dog, and it's how I imagine you talk to a coworker you don't like. It's nothing I would know about. I'm a coworker you really like. But anyway, pros and cons. So yes, bill supporters argue it is simply inhumane to allow the killing of any animal when its offspring may not survive on their own. Killing coyotes during pup season could also have other destabilizing effects on the coyote population. Coyotes are highly intelligent and social animals, so they form these stable packs where only alpha males and females breed. So when the pack is disrupted by hunting, subordinates and outsiders will begin to breed within the pack, and that can lead to more coyotes, not fewer. When pups are orphaned, juveniles are also more likely to search for food in farmyards and neighborhoods.
Is there a sadder phrase on the planet than orphaned pups? Okay, I know there are drawbacks, and I don't want to lose sight of the con argument here. This proposal has been floated before, hasn't it?
Yes, this is not the first time New Hampshire legislators have considered this proposal. Similar legislation was brought forward by Voices of Wildlife in New Hampshire in 2019, and the House killed that bill.
All right, so what made them decide to vote against that one?
Opponents pointed out that the coyote pup rearing season coincides with the same time when other animals are having their young, like deer, moose, cows, etc. Since coyotes hunt in packs, it's not uncommon for groups of them to attack and kill animals like deers and cows while they are giving birth. Do you want that, Mike? Do you want dead newborn cows?
No.
Many citizens also fear their household cats and small dogs being attacked and killed by coyotes. And lastly, the Fish and Game Department argued that wildlife hunting season should be set by the department through their regular rulemaking process, not by legislators. Ultimately, the 2019 committee felt that the current system was working to control the coyote population well, and there was no need to change it.
All right. Well, I do love neighborhood dogs, including my parents, even if he tends to misbehave on our Zoom calls. So those are all fair objections. Let's leave it to the listeners to decide from here, though. Do you want to see HB 1100 become law? Or do you think current methods of controlling New Hampshire's coyote population should remain in place? This bill will have a public hearing on February 6th, 2024, in room 307 of the Legislative Office Building in Concord. Go make your voice heard, New Hampshire. All right, Anna, and with that, it is time for our fun closing segment, only in New Hampshire. What do you have for us?
You know, funny, you say fun, but I feel like I'm once again going into disasters, which I feel we have done more than once. Not exactly fun, but New Hampshire has been dealing with some devastating flooding this year. So I wanted to look back in time about the history of that in New Hampshire. Let's look at the flood of 1936. At 12:30 in the morning of March 20th, 1936, it was reported that the Merrimack River in Manchester was 16.7 feet above the top of the dam and rising. In Nashua the next day, where the Merrimack, Nashua, and Sauhegan Rivers all came together, flooding left the city's industrial section 10 feet under. Geologic evidence showed it to be the worst flooding in 14,000 years. Thousands of people were evacuated, thousands lost their home, and hundreds died. To this day, it's the highest the Merrimack has ever reached. And I found a WMUR report that said 300 zoo animals died in Manchester, which is nuts to me because I didn't even know Manchester had a zoo. Anyway, this crazy flood led to the passage of the Federal Flood Control Act of 1936. Along with subsequent legislation, this law brought about a series of flood control dams and reservoirs built and operated by the federal government. In New Hampshire, there are now 7 flood control dams built by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, many with associated reservoirs, located in Webster, Peterborough, Franklin, Hopkinton, Ware, Keene, and Surrey.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that any of that, actually.
No, and that's, it's funny. I feel like there have been these really devastating events in the past. Like when you think about thousands displaced from their homes and whatever the population, how much less it was in 1936. And we've never learned about it. I will say though, this is much less horrifying than that crazy molasses flood that happened, which I think was in Boston. Yes, that's the thing. So I guess it just needs to have that extra level of horror for it to make it into the history books.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, with all that horror and destruction and sad animals out of the way, let's wrap it up for this episode of $100 Plus Mileage. You can find more information and episodes at citizenscount.org. This podcast is made possible by a generous grant from Northeast Delta Dental. We also like to thank Franklin Pierce University for producing and the Granite State News Collaborative for hosting. Our theme music is composed by me, Mike Dunbar. Lastly, we thank you for giving us a listen and thinking about how you can be part of what makes New Hampshire by the people, for the people.